trombonist, but known also as a pioneer in integrating seashells as a bona fide instrument in the world of music. So this is called Rainbow People. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and another one bites the dust. We have another candidate making it plain that she's come to the end of her run for office for the presidential in the presidential election, Elizabeth Warren, and she called it quits. So that leaves how many people who started out with her and in that grouping? Not many. But we're going to be talking about someone else today, just the same. We'll talk about Elizabeth tomorrow when there's more information that I would be able to have access to. But who we're talking about is Bernie Sanders. And why are we talking about Bernie Sanders today? Well, it seems as if he's caught between a rock and a hard place, a very hard place. And it's not that it wasn't inevitable. You know, people could see from the beginning that this was something that was going to be tremendously challenging for him. But he nevertheless sallied on. He decided that this is something he could handle, this is something he can do. And what is that something? That something is straddling what many see as a political and ideological divide. It's the same thing that we saw bedevil several candidates who came from outside, as it were, outside of the Democratic Party establishment, and somehow thought that there could be mutuality of interest, at least. But in the end, it didn't work out that way with the Democratic Party. Bernie Sanders has garnered impressive support on his own prior to throwing in his lot with the Democratic Party. But ultimately, the question is, will it help or hurt his presidential campaign running as a kind of hybrid candidate? A democratic socialist running as a, quote, real Democrat, unquote. This is a tough road to hoe, a steep hill to climb, and he doesn't have very much time to figure out what the answer is. In a sense, it's the same thing that bedeviled the former mayor of the city of New York, Michael Bloomberg, who thought he could do the same thing. All he needed, he figured, with all the money he had more than enough money. He had more money to burn than anybody else, Republican or Democrat, in the presidential race. But he couldn't figure out this question. He couldn't figure out whether that was a good move. And then, of course, the Democratic Party leadership itself also couldn't figure out whether that was a good move to rent him a room in the Democratic Party hotel so that he could go on his own campaign. But you notice he didn't run as a Democrat. And no matter how much money he threw at the issue, trying to convince people, both within and outside of the party, that he was sincere. And he was, in effect, underscoring, in many ways, the agenda of the Democratic Party, and not his own, he was still not seen as a Democrat. It's the same thing that is dogging Bernie Sanders. Is he a real Democrat? Despite the impressive inroads he had made prior to signing on full-fledged with the Democratic Party as a Democratic candidate, let's face it, many, many, many people still are not convinced he's a Democrat. And the Democratic Party itself has dropped these not so subtle hints that he's different. He's not a dyed-in-the-wool Democrat, even as he runs as a Democrat. So this year, this election year, this is a big issue. It's a recurring issue. The people who have performed under the Democratic Party umbrella have done a very creditable job. They're campaigning, they're going out and drumming up support. But there is this divide that no one really has been able to bridge. Are they real Democrats? Are they talking the issues that Democrats should be talking about if they are real Democrats? Certainly, Sanders makes it very clear. He is not a real Democrat in the way that people understand what a real Democrat is. He is a democratic socialist. Now, although he has gotten very impressive support, there is a divide, and he can't ignore it. I don't know that he could do anything more about it other than stand up in the middle of a public square and say, I am a real dyed-in-the-wool Democrat. There's no reason to be skeptical about me. There's no reason to be afraid of me. I'm running as a Democrat. What is he? This is the same thing that hounded Elizabeth Warren. She was not very clear about her ideological position. She took what she called principled positions. But to what extent were they compatible with the principles, for lack of a better term, because I'm not sure that the Democratic Party has expressed principles in all of these matters. But to what degree was she aligned with that? And the party aligned with her, because she had issues of her own that she was pushing. So there we are. This is the question today. Bernie Sanders, now close to the last of the titans coming on board the Democratic Party platform late in the primary process. But while he brought in a huge following and excited a political sector that really felt an alignment with him, he nonetheless is not a Democrat. And there is this great divide. I don't know how it's going to be bridged in the course of future elections if he stays. And this was a question I raised from the beginning. Was it a smart move because of a matter of convenience, or was his move an admission that the Green Party and any other parties that were likely to support him, did they have a structure that would convince any thinking candidate that it made sense to align their campaigns with that of the party and so seek an alliance with the party? Bloomberg thought that he could do that, and he failed miserably, even with having, I would say, the most money any candidate has or had in the course of this campaign. It still boils down to the fact that as a candidate, you have to have a clear message as to ideologically where you stand. You can't say, well, I'm really a Republican turned independent turned Democrat, and you can trust me as a Democrat because I'm now in the Democratic Party. That's a big sales job. And you can't really persuade enough people in the short time that you have, simply because you have money, to think that, well, okay, they accept you. That's not how this particular kind of politics works. This is a trouble that Bernie Sanders has been experiencing and will continue to experience. Because although he's saying all the right things, although he has a very good perspective, although he clearly has a populist outlook, there is this thing. What exactly is he? What kind of political animal is he? This new breed that we see, born out of just practical necessity. People don't believe generally that Bernie Sanders is a Democrat. Now, he may say he's a Democratic socialist, but they focus on the word socialist. What percentage is Democratic? What percentage is socialist? We've not seen him openly embrace the outlook of the Democratic Party, except that there seems to be mutual agreement that Trump has got to go, and they will do everything possible to get rid of Donald Trump, get him out of office. But what is this new breed of animal, and should this breed be trusted based on what people over several decades have come to accept and understand as the Democratic Party. So it's not an easy question. With all of his money, as we saw, Michael Bloomberg could not in any way convince people that he was running in this race because he had seen a different political light, which convinced him to side with the Democrats and, more importantly, to seek shelter within the Democratic Party. In fact, that's part two of the issue. In this election cycle, is the Democratic Party behaving as if it has standards? Let me explain that. Of course, all parties would say they have standards. But look at the exceptions that the party was willing to make simply to accommodate new candidates. Number one, it said it didn't have a caliber of candidate. It didn't have several of them that could carry the race. They didn't have tested candidates who stepped forward. Candidates with broad appeal, candidates who had been very much open to the community or the various communities that comprise the Democratic Party. They accepted without debate the people who showed up and said, "I want in." And the only response from the Democratic Party was, "Okay." So that showed up, and it cannot be denied that the Democratic Party in this election cycle had nobody really. And you just can't put your hopes on one person. They did not have a field, an impressive field of candidates to present and to choose from. They took what they got, and they got what they took. That, to me, is a staggering admission that the party leadership really, really failed here. You just don't take anybody who shows up with a bundle of cash and says, I want to run as a Democrat. I got the money. Don't worry about it. I'll take care of the expenses. And then the party's only response is, okay, you're in. That's what we got. And in the case of Sanders, we have a major problem that is ideological, political, specifically. The party, because of it, itself distanced the party from Bernie Sanders. It contributed to the notion that he really wasn't, that they were doing him a favor. Let's put it that way. He really wasn't one of them, but okay, he's not so bad that he needs to be jettisoned. But then it also showed up something else. It showed up that the party itself, you wonder what kind of standards they were operating with. What was the, and what is still, this set of standards and rules and means by which they measure the value of a candidate? In Bernie's case, it's not like he's got a lot of money. But what Bernie came with, which the party, I think, decided it needed more than money, was a system. He had people. He had an organizational structure. And that structure came with a ton of people that the party, the Democratic Party, never courted, never spent a dime to get, never put themselves out in a way that they will be, quote, besmirched, unquote, as a radical party. They still maintained their neutrality in that sense, but they knew the advantage to having Bernie Sanders is that he came kind of ready-made in terms of organizational structure, which means the party recognized immediately that it did not have an organizational structure that could deliver a predictable number of votes. They didn't work on building the party. They didn't work on promoting the party. They got it for free. And all they had to do was to accept Bernie into its ranks, except that the general feeling was clear, it was not a genuine act. It was a matter of convenience and practicality. Is that enough? Is that enough? People can't see through that, they think. So here we are. And it transferred to Elizabeth Warren, because people started making, especially the media, started making the comparisons. Elizabeth Warren is like Bernie Sanders ideologically, but they're still under the Democratic Party. So it's a case of, has a Democratic Party figured out what its ideology is, what its political position is, who its voters are? In other words, the leadership of the Democratic Party has utterly failed. They can't defend themselves around these questions. They can't. But that still doesn't solve the problem, because the contest is still ongoing. But we see the result, the fallout result is that Joe Biden came through this spectacularly. Not because he deserved it, or because he was good at it, or that there was big money behind Joe Biden. It is just that people saw the Democratic Party was having an ideological problem. It did not have an identity consistent with what it was preaching. Joe Biden came closest to that. And of course, like anything else in the history of elections, especially the recent history of US elections, they knew where to get support for Joe Biden. Call up the blacks and call up the Latinos. And tell them, You know, Sanders is preaching communism. You know what would happen to you? You have had experience with left-wing politics and the destruction that it causes. We are not for that. We need you to support the guy who will stay in the middle of the road. Our guy, Joe Biden. He's done very well. It still doesn't solve Bernie Sanders's problem. I'll take a break now, and we'll come back to your thoughts at 888-874-4888 right after this brief intermission. Listening to Lead Stories on PRN.FM. I'm Eutrice Lead. We're talking about the great ideological divide within the Democratic Party and whether and if it can be bridged. And principally, that puts the focus on Bernie Sanders. What's going to happen to him? He is practically the last one standing of those who came into the party with the idea that they can generate new support, new visions for the party. Do you think so? Do you see any divide there at all? And what might avert the inevitable as we see it? Because it's happening systematically. We got to figure out what this is all about. How's it going to turn out? How is it going to turn out? Do you have any ideas? Please call 888-874-4888 and share it. Share your views. Sonia from the Bronx, you're on the air.
Hi, Trace.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Okay.
I don't really know what's going to happen with Biden's campaign, but you had asked yesterday and other days, why is he doing this? And I've been thinking about that question, and I think he's doing this to show the young people who are largely supporting him to follow suit, to create a new party, a third party. And I think that is where all of this resistance is targeted towards. The resistance by the Democratic Party. They don't want young people to form a new party. I think that is really what's going on. So for Bernie, perhaps, he's doing this. He's running because he's altruistic. He wants to lead the way for the future. Perhaps he won't succeed in his own lifetime, but he will have set the groundwork for the young generation to make a valid choice.
Hmm. Do you think it's working?
Yes, I do. Okay. I certainly do. And I'm a senior citizen, and I would rather defer to the young people and give them a chance to make their own mistakes and to achieve their own successes rather than perpetuate the democratic system of which I have been a member and of which I frankly have benefited from. But it's time for the young people to make a decision to determine the future of their lives and the future of this country.
But that still does not address the question of how do you bridge this gap? I mean, this is where it is right now. You have a cleavage within the Democratic Party, and it involves the two leaders right now in the race?
Well, it's up for sale. I mean, it's whoever the DNC, there's a difference between the DNC and the Democratic Party, the people in this country who support the democratic system. There is a vast difference. The DNC is a corporation. They pick and choose who they anoint to run the corporation. And that's what this process is really about. It's not about a social democratic candidate overcome this corrupt system that the DNC has become. I don't think that's a question anymore. They have complete control over the media and over the candidates and over the qualifications, which they change at will. You know, one day it's public support. The other day, if you're a billionaire and you can pay your own way. So there are no standards, really. When you're perpetuating the same system, why would you need standards? Why?
Could you answer your own question? Why would you need standards?
We do need standards, but if we are perpetuating something that has been in effect for a very, very, very long time, it's self-perpetuating. It's on autopilot. And I see that in everyday life, that we see
Have we seen it to this extent, though? We have so many people who just showed up with bags of cash and said, I want in because I want to be part of this race. And the party officially sanctioned that.
Yes, because there is no standard. The standard is we don't want our young people in this country to think on their own. We don't want them to be autonomous. We want them to fall in line and maintain the status quo. And I have to say, people in my age group, the so-called Democrats in my age group, are desperate to perpetuate their status quo, desperate. And it's really so disappointing because this isn't about us. This is about our progeny. You know, we have to stop being so self-centered and self-absorbed and give these young people a chance at a future.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for starting us off today. Thanks so much. Ed from Queens, you're on the air.
Hello, Utrice. How you doing?
Okay. How's by you?
Me and my thumb still here. Still hanging on.
Your four thumbs. Hanging in there for thumb. You.
I'm going to have to get replacements soon. I don't know why you're so surprised, or maybe I'm misinterpreting that you sound surprised at the depths of depravity of the Democratic Party. I mean, I believe we're at a watershed moment where you're witnessing the death of party politics in this country. There's a divide between three forces, the old guard, what I call them, the Democratic Republican Party, the people, and the youth. And this divide is whether to maintain the status quo, business as usual, or to accept change. And the change is necessary. The world is on the brink of global annihilation. You know, I mean, we're at that point where I believe we're well beyond the tipping point, and drastic measures need to be taken. And the people that are in charge are not concerned because their longevity is limited. They have an expiration date, and they want to be comfortable until that expiration date comes around. And there's a group of young people that are rising, slowly but surely, and the system can't stem that tide. And the Democratic Party is just the beginning. They don't know what to do. The Republicans have rallied around a madman, and basically he's got the numbers to carry it through. But there's a force, and it's rising, and it's going to usurp this whole system. This system has to go. It can't maintain itself. The whole idea of this democratic or full democratic system is dying, and people are seeing it. Even if you don't hear it in the media, even if you're out in the street, if you talk to people, if you talk to different people, people are completely turned off by this process, and these fools don't see it. But a change is coming, whether you like it or not.
Well, what is the unique situation with Bernie Sanders? He's not a young Kirk just, you know, coming up.
Sanders has a
He's been around.
He has a track record. I mean, you can look at it and see. He's still a party politician per se. I mean, he's not going to. He's endorsing change. He's trying to incite young people, but not a lot of young people have voted for him. Because especially if you look at South Carolina, they called out the blacks, they called out the Hispanics, they pushed Joe Biden through. Joe Biden, majority of voters got millennials. He got people who are of my age group who want to maintain the status quo and don't feel comfortable with it because they don't understand what socialism is. They confuse it with communism. They don't understand that this government is based in a socialist background for corporate America. I mean, all of the major industries in this country rose with government help, from the railroads to Con Edison to the telephone company, all with government assistance, all with government land grants. No millionaire in this country came up by his own bootstraps. He got assistance from the government, whether it be research and development, land grants, money to cultivate the business because it was good for him. Like Calvin Coolidge said nearly 100 years ago, and it's still true today, the business of America is business. So we got to realize that the corporate socialism has been going on in this country since the Revolutionary War and the subjugation of slavery. So it's over. It's over. And it's just a matter of time before the lights are turned off. What's going to come out of it, I don't know. I might not be around to see it. I hope it's better than what we got. But it's time to let it go.
But let's talk about the current situation.
Mm-hmm.
We have a presidential race in progress. Mm-hmm. And at least from the Democratic side, these are the messages that we're getting. We're getting messages about serious internal conflict, that the party has no set idea of where it wants to go, other than, you know, everybody agrees, okay, we're anti-Trump. We're here to get him out of office. Okay, great. But is that enough?
No, it's not. Being against Trump is not a policy. From my personal perspective, I identify as an American descendant of slaves. None of these candidates have even spoken to my needs as a voter or my needs as a United States, as a citizen of the United States. You know, I'm still on reparations. I'm still on housing grants. I'm still on environmental issues, as far as environmental racism and how certain sections of my community are suffering, from the hookworm in Alabama to the smog in the Bronx. I mean, nobody's addressing those things. I mean, yeah, get rid of Trump. But what, I mean, you can't base a party platform or a political campaign on, I don't like this guy, so let's get rid of him. What are you offering? Politics is an exchange at its basis form. And these people aren't offering any exchange. Biden got a walk. He didn't even come. Half of the states that he got on Super Tuesday, he didn't even campaign in. And black people ran to him out of fear. We got to stop acting with fear. We got to start acting with purpose and with direction. And this Democratic Party has none.
Quite a statement there. Thank you, Ed, for calling in and contributing, as usual, a very powerful set of thoughts for us to consider. Henry from Chicago, how are you?
I'm doing okay. How's it going, you Teresa?
You sound like you're on your last legs.
Well, I'm not hanging on by my thumbs from Ed, but I'm doing okay, I guess.
I think you might be doing better than okay. But let's talk about this question. What is what do you see as the problem with Sanders and the Democratic Party?
Well, Sanders basically ideologically is going against what the Democratic Party or I think the earlier caller elucidated it very greatly about the difference between the DNC, which is the corporate arm of, you know, that party, and then the actual Democratic Party. And what he's speaking about is basically kind of going against, those policies that, they support. So he's kind of him and Bloomberg were kind of like the wild cards of this whole thing, because obviously, we talked about how, Biden's going to be pushed through, as most likely going to be pushed through as the nominee. So with Bernie, being in there, he causes a great divide, and not just like, within the party, but just like within the people themselves, because, like you said, this question of democratic socialism, is a question that many people in the political world are trying to answer, and it's causing a great divide. I don't know if you know about this thing with Public Enemy, where they kind of threw out Flavor Flav because of this support for. Yeah, so, I mean, even in those respects, it's kind of like dividing, folks in regards to that. So, Bernie's is a wild card that is, causing, for me, a lot of confusion with people, because they're not understanding what is a democratic socialist.
What do you understand it to be, as he has attempted to explain and to demonstrate his difference, the difference between him and your basic standard issue Democrat?
Well, I guess with Bernie, he's not. I mean, from my understanding, and let me address. I am not a professional political pundit or sociologist, but with socialism, Bernie's not a full blown socialist. He takes a lot of socialist ideas that most of this country has already adopted, in regards to. In regards to some of the stuff like, Social Security and stuff like that. But he wants to just basically kind of expand it a little bit more in regards to health care. But, other than that, I mean, he's not looking to make the country, totally like China or something like that, or Cuba. But he likes to just take, a couple of more ideas of socialism and implement it into the country. Now, whether that helps, certain groups of people, that remains to be seen. But I know a lot of people in the African American community are kind of in this quandary about, what he's gaining that, and if, whatever he's suggesting would help, the black community as a whole.
Do you think that the Democratic Party, does this bother the Democratic Party that in this election, when it really should have its act together, what it is telegraphing to the public at large is that the party is very fragmented?
Well, I guess in regards to this primary, yes, I think the Democratic Party is very concerned about this, split. However, I think they'll get their act together once they shoehorn Joe Biden in. And unfortunately,
shoehorn him.
Yes, and unfortunately, and just going off by history, Bernie's going to support Joe Biden in the main election. So,
wow, you drop atomic bombs just casually?
Well, I mean, he supported Hillary, so I don't see anything different from it.
That's true. We cannot deny. Absolutely. Thanks, Henry, for calling in and contributing today. David from Brooklyn.
Yes,
the saint,
you know,
the saint of Brooklyn.
Yes, I've been listening to this, and you know, to me, it is very simple. And we're you're throwing out a lot of yeah, and we're forgetting that the system in effect here in the United States of America, this idea of supposedly we have some kind of democracy, and as I see it, democracy and capitalism do not go together. As far as this so-called Democratic Party or Democrat Party, which is a part of the Uniparty, Republican and Democrat, they have the same mission. And people need to get that clear, that their interest is capitalism, imperialism, dominating throughout the world. And if you expect the people in the Democrat and the Republican Party, both of them, to give up what they have now and what they control and what they run, which is the whole country, and give it up to somebody like Bernie Sanders, who's bringing in things that are not in harmony with the mission of the ruling class to enrich itself at the expense of the people in this country and throughout the world. So we have to make it clear to ourselves the only possible way to have a situation where the government of this country was doing things to benefit the mass of people was would be only if you had a revolution. There's no way that they're just going to step aside and let Bernie just walk in and give some of these benefits that benefit the mass of people at the expense of the ruling class who run things. They're not going to just give this away. So we may have an illusion that, you know, they'll let Bernie get in the fray and, you know, introduce some of these things and rally some people together. But those who rule don't want that. And, you know, I think we need to get it clear that, as I said before, the people have no party. This is a thing set up to benefit the rich and powerful who started the country, the slaveholders and the people who were involved in the genocide, ethnic cleansing and genocide of the indigenous people. And it has not changed from the very beginning. So, we ought to stop thinking about the doings of the Democrat Party and so forth, because the Democrat Party is in control of the situation to benefit those at the top. And I don't see all this division in the Democrat. How are you going to be someone who's interested in the benefit of the people, and you're in the Slave Master's Party, and you think that that's the way to go? If you wanted some party, you'd make one for yourself. And the people have no party. They haven't been successful, the ruling class, in making sure that they shepherd people into this cabal of the, Republican and Democrat. So there's no future in that. People have to get it straight, and the ruling class is not going to do anything unless there's a revolution, and that's when they throw out some bones, and when the time comes, they take the bones back. And people got to understand that all this politics and the energy put in and worry about Bernie Sanders and Joe Biden and the rest of crooks, you know, is useless.
So let me ask you, what are you saying then? If you say that there's no party, what are you saying about the Green Party, for example?
Well, they have got the Green Party on a short leash. They want to pretend that you have some viable party now and then, but all those smaller parties and whatnot, they can deal with that. They have so many ways of limiting the availability of these small parties are getting the fray. They have all these rules in every state about how many people you have to get registered in these smaller parties and whatnot. So they have that under control. So all these green parties and the rest of them, they're in check. The ruling class runs a one-party state called Republican and Democrat, and that's it. All those other groups don't have a chance at the way it is right now.
Thank you, David, for calling in and contributing. Thank everyone for calling in and contributing. I want to wrap up by saying this. It's at times like these that we should pay attention to the obvious contradictions with which we are faced. But some of us are reluctant to bring them out into the open because, you know, you have a feeling of, you don't want to spoil things. You know, smaller parties, other candidates have tried in their own way. They've put in a great deal of effort to bring things along to the point where they allegedly can compete on equal footing with major parties. But look at what is happening now, and this is what we are discussing. There's no need to pretend it isn't happening or that it is happening, but not to the extent that we think. It is happening exactly to the extent that we think. When you have a movement, for example, this points to what parties and individual candidates, they have to pay attention to building a structure and the importance of having your own vehicle. It can't be avoided. This is what has to be done. And I don't want to lay this at the feet of Bernie Sanders or any other person in particular, because I see this as a party-wide problem. If you're not ready to run on your own terms, with your own map, with your own guidance, then you don't have to run. You can find another way to express your thoughts and be in the public discussion. But what we have seen in this particular election is instructive. We have people who simply expressed an interest to join party A or party B, and they have the money and the corrupt. This is part of corruption, I think. They didn't put this up to a vote within the party. They didn't ask fellow Democrats what they thought about this. They just took them in. When Nancy Pelosi said to Michael Bloomberg, "You're in," on what authority did she say that? What survey was distributed to ascertain the attitude and the mood and the reaction of the party? It didn't matter. She saw money. And this was fantastic. As far as she was concerned, she landed she personally, not the party, she landed a big fish. And the last thing that they had to worry about for the rest of the cycle and possibly into other cycles is availability of money. This is the, and it's open. It's not even covered up. It's not, you know, hinted at. It is in the open. Steyer as well, the billionaire. I want to run. I don't have a party of my own, and I really can't stomach the idea of running as under the banner of Party X. So I want in. And here's what I am willing to offer. And they took it. This is what's very different about this party, this cycle, I should say. Thanks for listening. Tomorrow is Free Your Mind Friday, so you can continue the discussion and we could talk about anything else you want to talk about. Thanks for listening. We see each other tomorrow.